You're listening to the Sound of Social podcast, where we break down all things social media, news, hacks, and tips for brands, along with NFTs and Web3. All right, let's get this show started.
Amanda, welcome to the Sound of Social podcast on this rainy Wednesday in the UK. How are you?
Doing really good. How are you guys?
I'm good. It looks very sunny where you are. Where are you at the moment?
So I'm based in Connecticut, so in the US.
I love the US.
So it's a nice sunny winter day.
Fabulous, fabulous. Is the American dream still alive? So for all the audience that are not that might not be aware of you, just a quick intro to yourself, what you specialize in and what you do.
For sure. So thanks for having me. My name is Amanda. I am an online business manager and chief operating officer for seven-figure coaches and healers. And my job is to help them get the freedom they set out to get when they started their business. So if you ever started a business, 9 times out of 10, you started a business for freedom. You wanted to have financial freedom, time freedom, emotional freedom, spiritual freedom, you name it, freedom. And what I see a lot in the space is people overwork themselves and end up working 12-hour days to grow and expand their business. So I come into their business, project manage their teams, set up systems, automations, and processes so there is more free space in their lives.
And how are you currently finding the economic environment?
Yeah, so something that I was just on like a group coaching call with one of my clients' masterminds, and mm-hmm. that was a question that was brought up as well. So it is a question that's in the ether right now, especially in the entrepreneurial space. But something to keep in mind is this is actually our busy season. So when there is economic unrest, when there is inflation, there's also a lot of layoffs, and there are people who are leaving corporate jobs, corporate 8-to-6 jobs, and are starting a side hustle or starting an online business or heading into entrepreneurship, because at the end of the day, like, there's more security in being able to go after your own sales than relying on a corporate company that may or may not care about you, right? So this actually ends up being a busy season for business coaches, content creators, course creators, anybody who is teaching how to create money online. So any type of side hustle, as well as if you are a relationship coach, dating coach, or expert in those fields, having certification programs where people can start training other people on what you teach.
What makes a good coach?
Perfect. So there's a difference between them. So sometimes in this industry, there's a confusion between like coach and consultant. I like to blend both. So I do both of them. So I'm not a coach. I'm a coach consultant and done for you service provider. The difference between them is a coach is really about helping you come to your own realizations. So they're going to spend more time asking you powerful questions to help you come to the answer within yourself, and will help you develop into the person that can solve their own problems. A consultant is somebody who has a set strategy or a set way of doing something and then is teaching you that set way or that set perspective and applying it to your business.
You know, over the years, I remember, maybe let's say 15 years ago, showing my age now.
That's okay.
Showing my age, there wasn't as many coaches as there are today. You know, there's that many. I remember Tony Robbins was the only famous coach that existed.
I know.
And there were others. Yeah. Do you think there's been an influx of fake coaches into the market? Because it looks like an easy income earner. It's it's hard to put anything tangible on it. Do you think people have seen it as an easy win and there's an influx of fake coaches?
Yeah, I think what's important to realize is every industry has its good guys and every industry has its bad guys. So you look at any industry, there's going to be people who are lacking integrity. And then there's going to be people who are embodied in there in integrity. So for me and like the clients I work with clients that practice what they preach. So if they are teaching programs on relationships, they have a healthy marriage, right? If they are teaching programs on health coaching, they're healthy. If they are a business coach, they've been able to have some monetary success in their business. This doesn't mean that everybody's perfect, but they're able to take their journey, maybe their, you know, struggle and how they were able to transform it into success, right? And then help others do the same. So it's really about having discernment in this space and looking at people's testimonials, looking at people's sales process is a big one. Their onboarding process is a big one. Their content. People could have great marketing, but at the end of the day, a valuable offer sells itself.
Because when you look at the online space, you can buy a course or a coach for pretty much anything. And the most common ones that I come across are usually either somebody set the Amazon world, drop shipping, Amazon, and then you get the kind of business mental health kind of coaches as well. So I find it a very interesting kind of space. Now, a good coach with good experience, somebody that knows what they're doing and they can bring value to a client, what's their potential earnings in the US or anywhere in the UK or US in your opinion?
Yeah, that's a great question. So just like in any industry, there is people that are making a lot of money in that industry, and then there's people that are not making a lot of money in that industry. So the coaching is multi-billion dollar industry. So there's those numbers in between. If you were to Google it, you would find the actual stats. I don't know the stats off the top of my head. So Google is your friend on that. But in terms of having the right strategy and the right social media strategy when you are getting clients online, that comes down, that plays a factor in terms of how much money you make online.
With the younger generation, do you feel they live inside their heads more and rather than being practical? So with each generation, so they have their own kind of ways of doing things. And what I'm seeing is a lot of younger people that are trying to get into business or into the working environment, they are more living, doing things mentally, but rather than physically actually going and doing something.
So when you say doing something mentally versus implementation, are you referencing like somebody, because I know this is big in like the manifesting space where it's like law of attraction, thinking about what they're trying to attract.
Exactly,
like if you say, I am going to be a millionaire like 40 times a day,
exactly.
Are you going to actually become a millionaire saying that 40 times a day?
Yeah.
So there's the law of action that also needs to be applied to the law of attraction, right? So the law of attraction is one part. It's one part of the equation, right? You want to have the right mindset. You want to have the right intentions. You want to believe you can do something, right? Because if you don't have that mindset, you're not going to take the action, right? Because you're already like, oh, what's the point? I'm not going to get that anyways. So it is important to have the right mindset. But you also want to follow the law of action, which is taking that mindset and putting it into 3D reality. You can say you want to be a millionaire your whole life and never achieve that unless you are taking millionaire actions.
Do you, from a business point of view then, what are your kind of thoughts around failure in business? How should somebody embrace that, work with that, learn from that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So in terms of how like I view failure in business, especially when it comes to like selling online or launches, I call them data parties. Because the thing is, every time you fail, you are getting more data. You're getting more information on what works, doesn't work. You're getting more information on what feels right for you in your business. You're getting more information on how you want to approach your audience. So it's a data party. There's no such thing as failure. It's just you got more data from failing than you did your typical tracker. Right? People are KPI tracking, right? But you're going to get way more data, like faster. That's why I call it a data celebration, data party when you fail, because you know what works, what doesn't work right from the get-go.
I find in the US, this is just my own comparison, that you embrace failure in more of a positive way. So if you ever watch Shark Tank as an example, usually they're more likely to invest in a business if the founder or the person seeking investment has failed once or multiple times.
Yep.
In the UK, we don't see, if somebody has failed in business and they're asking for investment, we see it as a bad thing.
Like a liability. Yeah.
A liability. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's one of the reasons the US for decades has been at the forefront of innovation and big tech companies that have just dominated the world landscape?
Yeah, I think it's important. Like a good analogy to connect to is when we were kids, we learned how to walk, right? And when you first learned how to walk, you didn't get it right away. You failed multiple times until you learned how to walk. 9 out of 10 people, right, know how to walk or have the ability to walk if they aren't in a wheelchair or if they have some other disability, right? Everybody who doesn't have that, they know how to walk. And so when you apply it to business, that type of mindset of somebody who has failed before shows persistence. Because the thing is, your success is inevitable as long as you don't quit. So that type of individual shows that they have a persistence quality, which the persistence quality will lead to success. Whether it leads to success in this specific business or another business, the fact that they have that innate quality is going to eventually lead them to success.
When should you know when to quit then?
Yeah, so that's a great question, because for me, I had like, my own like done for you launch agency. So I was doing like 4 to 5 launches at a time and was miserable. Like I was like miserable. And when I connected, I did this exercise, and I feel like this will be really helpful for your audience, for them to know when they should persist or when they should like release something. So I did, it's a 3-year overview. It's where you were last year, where you are now, and where you want to be next year. So you go over like every area of your life, like in your business, like in your love life, in your health, like each category of your life. When I did this exercise, I saw the previous year I was doing OBM COO work exclusively, and I was like super happy. And I'm like, that year I was like, oh, I switched it to agency work and I got miserable. Let's see. What's the equation? Switch it back to OBM COO work. And now it's like more fun, right? Because I'm more involved in my clients' businesses. I get to go deep with 2 clients at the 7-figure level, versus going, trying to spread across like multiple clients that you don't know as deeply.
Looking at the current world climate and business, what core key skills do you think a CEO will need to have to succeed in going forward?
Yeah, I think like the key skills every entrepreneur in specific would need to have to move forward is just having like the skill set of self-trust, right? So stop second guessing yourself and changing your mind like every other day, like make decisions, stick with them, implement on them, and then repeat that process. So self-trust, and then just the skill set of adaptability, right? When there is uncertainty on a global stage, collectively, people feel uncertainty. And so if you are able to be adaptable and to have that self-trust piece, you're able to show up as like a beacon in whatever industry you're in and hold space for more clients to come in.
Do you, how do you see the kind of social media landscape changing for business coaches or CEOs? I know LinkedIn is a big player in this kind of sector. How do you see that changing? Do you see anyone new coming in? Do you see it getting stronger? What's your kind of just thought process around social media for kind of CEO top level execs?
Yeah, I think what's going to be really important in terms of like a social media strategy, whether you are a solopreneur or even all the way up to like a corporate company, is making sure you have like an omnipresence. So there is a lot of unrest on certain channels being here or not being accessible to certain countries. So it's important to have omnipresence across each channel. To have an email list is super important as well, because you can take your email list to whichever channel ends up being the one or the thing. And then what's great is, you know, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, they're all adopting Reels. So whatever Reels you're creating on TikTok or creating on IG Reel, make sure that you have a repurposing strategy. You know, that one Reel you created should be on all the platforms. It should be on YouTube Shorts. It should be on IG Reels. It should be all over the place. And just making sure you have an omnipresence strategy.
It's changing fast, isn't it? The social media landscape, it changes so fast. I was looking
at it. It makes it easier to repurpose now because they're all copying each other.
100%. 100%. Mm-hmm. Would you look at any new platforms that's caught your eye for exec or CEOs? I know LinkedIn's the main player, right? Is there anything else would you look at? Is Twitter a hot space for this kind of sector? For networking, for building your profile when you want to especially be B2B?
Yeah, so actually I'm going to like have us step away from typical social channels and step into like messenger channels. So I'm a huge fan of Telegram. What Telegram is doing and innovating in terms of like their messenger, their broadcasts, their like group chats, you can create like your own like broadcast channel in Telegram and use it as a faux like email list, right? A place to like warm people up, give like quick tips, you know, little snippets of your podcast. I've been seeing more and more people create like free Telegram chats and chats that are added to like their masterminds or to their one-on-one coaching programs or to their courses. So if you are not wanting a Facebook group added to your course, because people will add a Facebook group to a course and say, you could ask questions in the Facebook group for the members.
For the members,
So if you're looking for an alternative to that, there's Discord, there's Telegram, there's other these other communities to really be looking into. Add it into your free social strategy and into your paid offers.
And what about ChatGPT then? What are your thoughts around ChatGPT?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. So I actually just signed up for like a masterclass on it. So this copywriter who is really using it in her business, she's teaching a class on it next Friday. So
I'll have to attend.
I know. I'm like, I'm diving in. I want to know everything about it. I think what's interesting about this, I saw like a post in my news feed how this is going to really change a lot in the done-for-you service provider world. So if you are an agency owner or if you are a freelancer or a contractor, really, really pay attention to what's happening with AI, especially around copywriting. So copywriting is, as you know, a huge piece of any social strategy, of any business model. Most of the work we do as online entrepreneurs is copy related. So this is going to play a huge role. I don't think it's going to get rid of traditional copywriters at all, because there's always the human element. Oh, discuss. I want to hear your thoughts on that.
I think if you've ever used ChatGPT, I've spent a bit of time on it. I think the speed of it, the new version that's coming out will be able to write like a novel within like a certain amount of time, which I've seen. I feel there's no need for a copywriter because of, there's a need for somebody to input the question, right? Because there's still, you still need to tell it what you want it to say. But somebody like me that would hire a copywriter, for example, some of the questions for this interview were done on ChatGPT. We just put in, we need X amount of questions for a business podcast, and it just produced the questions. And we can keep creating, regenerate until we're happy with them, which with the copywriter would be going back and forth. I think, let me kind of clarify. I think when I'm saying copywriting, I think like caption writing, interviewing, that kind of thing, it will replace. Copywriting at a higher level of like books, that I will not replace that, because there's still an element of, it's a subjective view.
Yeah,
needs to be presented. You know, the
storytelling post.
The context element cannot be put into it yet. But at the lower end of copywriting, which I mean, with all due respect, captions, you know, things like that, questions for interviews, rephrasing something, rephrasing, like you might have website copy you want it rewriting, you put it in and it does it for you. I think that will go. And I think it's gone, because this morning we tried logging on and it was at full capacity. It's costing $1 million a day to run at the moment.
Wow.
And I think the reason they've allowed it to run for free is the more people input questions into it, because when you input into it, you rate if it's a good answer or bad, it's learning all the time. So I think, and plus with Microsoft now looking to integrate it into Bing, I think a bigger impact than copywriters.
Canva already has their own AI too.
Yeah, the interesting thing what I find is where it might cause a bigger uproar or disrupt a market is Google. What I mean by that is, at the moment, if you want to go on holiday to Puerto Rico, like I was looking at your reels earlier, and if you type in, you'd have to find the holiday, find the flights, find the transfers, or whatever, and then you have to individually piece that together or go on multiple websites that would provide everything for you. With ChatGPT, it can get to a level where you could say, I want to go to Puerto Rico on Wednesday 24th of February. I want to be there by 3 p.m. I want to fly on this airline and I want to stay in this hotel, and it will put it all together for you.
Wow.
So that's the difference. It's like an advanced version of Siri. It's what Siri should have been, but in a text-based format. So Google at the moment, you type in a question and it brings up loads of websites, and you still have to go and look for the answer in there, because you have to read articles. They might be ranked based on SEO, and it still takes time to find your answer. Here you answer the question and it gives you the answer, because more search terms in Google are questions, right? What are the cheapest flights to Canada? How do I build my business, right?
Yep.
How do I create a Kajabi website? How do I increase profitability? But you still, it only gives you a list of potential answers. You still have to go and find the answer. With ChatGPT, it will give you the answer. That's the difference. So it's much more of a threat to Google than copywriters. I think the short-term impact will be copywriters. the long-term impact is how soon or how quick can Google, as an example, adapt to this? Because if Microsoft are already saying, what, $10 billion an investment, I find that quite interesting. And so that's just my kind of thought on it. I could be wrong. It's just what I've seen from it. Because you could write a whole sales email in it.
Very easy. It's something to also keep in mind with this is because so I've been in the online space since 2013. So it's been over like a decade, right? And when I first started, there was so much work that you had to do just to be an online entrepreneur, right? I had to learn HTML coding like for my website back when it was a WordPress website. Nowadays, everything is like drag and drop, ChatGPT. It's speeding up your like sales pages, all of this. What it creates is it lowers the barrier to entry, right? And so if anybody can throw something into ChatGPT, if anybody can drag and drop a website, if anybody can do these certain pieces, then the barrier, right, the next levels is more and more sophistication to stand out in the online space. So you don't want to like sound like everybody else. You don't want to look like everybody else. You want to make sure that while you're using these tools, like the sales page template, all of these things, you're still adding your story into it. You're still adding your personality into it.
I think you're right. But I think the problem with AI is it's unregulated. So it's too far gone now to regulate it. It should have been done when... In the US, for example, in the US, when Obama was in charge, they were trying to push regulation then and just didn't take it very seriously. I think things will change, but things are changing so quick. Like you said, everything's moving so, so quickly. ChatGPT is here today. Tomorrow it'll be in Bing. Microsoft will drop one. Google will drop their version. And things are just constantly moving at a rapid speed. Now, if anybody wants to get in touch with you, if anybody wants to connect with you, if anybody wants to, I know you've got your own podcast as well. How can they do all this?
So I am Expansion with Amanda on all platforms. So really easy handle. And you can go to expansionwithamanda.com and you can see like all my offers and services there. I also dropped like a special freebie for your audience. So it's called the 10X Your Launches Checklist. So if you've ever written sales content and you were like, scratching your head on why isn't this selling or why am I not getting enough sales? This is a checklist that you can literally go step by step by step and say like, does it have this piece? Does it have that piece? Does it have that piece? It's a really powerful checklist and I've used it in my clients' businesses and their launches as well.
Amanda, it's been an absolute pleasure to find out about you and your opinions. I'm sure we'll get you on again very, very soon. I'll put all your links in our description. In the description. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure as well. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Sound of Social. If you're enjoying the show, be sure to follow and turn on notifications. That way you won't miss an episode. Stay tuned for more, and we'll catch you next time.